There's an app for everything. There's a report to measure everything. You know, it becomes really very easy for you to, you know, spend all of your time on kind of the wrong things.
Hello and welcome to Inside Selling Podcast. My name's Liston Witherell, partner at Sales DNA, where we help inside sales teams get more meetings and close more business without feeling salesy, manipulative, or gross. Today on the podcast, I have a guy in sales enablement, and that guy is Charlie Biesecker with Qualtrics.com. And Charlie spends a lot of time thinking about what his reps are doing, what the sales team is doing, how to make them more efficient, how to give them the tools to win. And one of the things that he thinks a lot about is how to balance between giving people a big variety of tools, but also managing the complexity for them and not creating a mandate for them to use 1.5 million tools, which we all know is a constant drive and tension. Before I get to that, though, I do want to invite you to check out our articles about inside sales at blog.salesdna.co or our online training at courses.salesdna.co. And if you use the code podcast, you can get 30% off any course you see on the site. If you'd like custom training or us to audit your B2B sales process, head over to our website, click contact, and get in touch. And now, without further ado, my conversation with Charlie Biesecker. Hey, it's Liston with the Inside Selling Podcast, and I'm here with Charlie Biesecker. Charlie, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Liston.
Yeah, I'm excited that you're here. You are running sales over at Qualtrics in where?
So we are headquartered out of Provo, Utah, and I'm responsible for what we call global enablement. And so that's basically all things training, professional development, and sales enablement for our global sales force, which currently is comprised of about 750 and rapidly growing and distributed mostly across the U.S. in Utah and Dallas, as well as Dublin and Sydney, Australia, with newer offices popping up all over the world.
So, you know, you have a large team, and being that you're focused on sales enablement, you think a lot about process and assets that are at people's disposal and tools that you're using. And one thing that I learned about you before we talked was from another interview that you'd done, and you used this phrase that a lot of sales teams are suffering from death by complexity. So you must think about this a lot, and I'm wondering what you meant by that.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to start. You know, for those that have been in the inside sales world for a while, you know, at first there was kind of a race for new tools and better methods and tighter processes, and you know, deeper and more thorough reports. And while that was, you know, a really good exercise, the world of inside sales today, it really is quite easy to have too much process, too many vendors, so that the sales motion itself for sales reps is either, you know, number one, impossible to master, or number two, itself so complex that you end up reducing your time spent on core selling activities, which for me is really, you know, time spent you know, directly with customers or planning you know, your time with customers. And so kind of that whole death by complexity is that there's, you know, there's an app for everything. There's a report to measure everything. And if you're not disciplined, or, you know, kind of an operational savant, then it becomes, you know, really very easy. You know, becomes really very easy for you to, you know, spend all of your time on kind of the wrong things. And so, you know, what that led us to is really a march towards, you know, effective simplicity, where we want to make sure that we have all of the best-in-class tools, and that our, you know, process is defined, you know, sufficiently, so that you know, people have you know, prescription when they need it, but freedom when they need it. That they have kind of the tools to do the job, but they don't have, you know, 14 tools that all overlap to do similar jobs. You know, thereby just kind of, you know, creating confusion. And again, just anything that diverts our general inside sales reps from core selling activities are things that we will look at, you know, basically either simplifying or systematically eliminating.
Yeah. So how do you, I'm curious about this idea of tools and keeping it simple, because the drive to get new tools is sort of cannibalizes itself, right? On the one hand, you think, well, there must be a tool for me to do this thing more efficiently. But then on the other hand, there's this gigantic cognitive load that comes with having 15 tools. So how do you kind of balance, or what is your test for adopting a new tool or looking at a new productivity gain when you know that there can be a trade-off there?
Yeah. So, you know, I think what we don't do, is we take a very, very clear very, very strategic approach to what we're going to mandate. And so the things that have to be used are few and far between when it comes to our tech stack. But at the same time, what we like to have is, a fairly, diverse, set of tools that people can opt in to use, and then make sure that we have, world-class training to make sure that if people go decide to use additional tools and kind of add a little bit of complexity, to their sales motion on an individual or a team level, that is kind of as easy as possible. And so we kind of, talk about, really having, a really, really nice, pantry of tools that people can use, but we're not going to mandate, that people use them. And so that's kind of the easiest answer to that question.
Okay, cool. So I was hoping you could take me into your onboarding process. I know this is an area where you focus a lot of your time and attention. What are some of the key things that you want to address? And I'll narrow this down a little bit for you. When we talk about sales training, we really think of three key areas that will help people become more successful at their job. And also, not a minor point, create a much better experience for the people that they're selling to, right? So number one is mindset. Am I thinking the right things and approaching this in the right way? Second is process. Am I doing enough of the right things in order to give myself a chance at success? And the last is skills. Can I continually increase how well I do those things in my process? So kind of where do you focus your time in the onboarding process with your new reps, or maybe as people move through the ranks?
Yeah, so it's a good question, and we would even add, we're very explicit about calling out a couple more kind of pillars in the onboarding process. We break it down into knowledge, skills, tools, and teams. And then finally, that tools and teams part is kind of a very, very crucial approach in a very kind of complex selling structure like we have here at Qualtrics. It's really, really essential that all, sellers know kind of who and how and where and why to engage the different internal support teams, that we've built ultimately to increase sales productivity. And then finally, we make sure that, again, like we mentioned before, the tools that we do have, at their disposal to be more efficient or effective in certain areas, that all sellers are kind of very well aware of the tools that are available and they're in their tool belt, so to speak. Now, at the end of the day, it really is only Salesforce and a few other kind of internal operating tools that we're going to that we're going to mandate, and then the rest of it really comes down to there are a lot of different ways to build a house, and we've got kind of all of the tools that a contractor could ever want to build that house, and we want to make sure that they understand how, when, and why to use all of those tools. But at the end of the day, it's ultimately up to them to use the appropriate tool at the appropriate time to accomplish the desired results. So that is one way that we kind of focus on it. You also mentioned experience, which is a really crucial piece. And obviously, Qualtrics is all about experience management, customer experience, employee experience, brand experience, and product experience. And what we've added to our own motion is really what we call training experience. And then to monitor that, what we've done is we've actually built all of our we've used all of our own products, and basically at the class level, we are sending out attendance and feedback surveys for all of our people being trained around the world. What that does is it allows us to aggregate all of these responses on a centralized dashboard, and allows us to kind of make sure that all of our trainers are effective, every class is effective. We run what's called key driver analysis to determine not only were people satisfied, but how important was their satisfaction to the ultimate success of them as a seller. And what that allows us to do is kind of make minute changes that ultimately improve the impact of and the experience of our onboarding and then ongoing training process. And that's been kind of really, really wonderful. Addition is to have what's referred to as closed loop feedback at the class level, at the course level, and at the curriculum level. And that's led to a pretty dramatic increase in both kind of the satisfaction and experience of those going through the program, but also the impact of the program itself, making sure that people are selling their first deal faster within their tenure to make sure that people are, hitting quota earlier, that they've mastered kind of all products and not just, one product that they're, comfortable with and things to that effect. So that's a mechanism that we've implemented to make sure that we have very close tracking of the kind of impact and success and experience of the onboarding process.
Excellent. So you talk about tools a lot, and one tool that you have at your disposal to increase your velocity and your onboarding time and your ramp time and all of that, obviously, is Qualtrics itself, right?
Yep.
you have a little bit of an edge there in terms of your ability to learn. How are you using your own product in order to help with sales enablement and increase the performance and productivity of your team?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question and could probably be, an entirely distinct podcast unto itself. But, the answer is in numerous ways, right? I think the first place I'll start is we use it internally, right? And we'll conduct a quarterly, study with our sales managers and all of our frontline sellers to really determine, what's your biggest inefficiency? What are your biggest knowledge gaps or skill gaps? We'll have, the reps all around the world, kind of assess their managers. What could they improve on? The managers will assess, the global sellers. That really allows us to kind of, take a strategic approach to what we're going to, focus on either from a training standpoint, or oftentimes, from kind of an internal operations standpoint. And it might sound minute, but one of the things that we realized was kind of one of the biggest impediments or inefficiencies was how long it was taking some of our reports to load, coming out of our data mart. And so that allowed us to say, this is a really big challenge, and then kind of invested in that. So that's one way is really using them internally to understand what's working or what isn't working from a knowledge, skills, or operational standpoint. Beyond that, when in a customer-facing standpoint, the sky's the limit in terms of how you can use Qualtrics. We started out, a long time ago, we started using, surveys for prospecting. And so it's, very easy for us to say, hey, is now a good time? Do you understand what we do? And you can use kind of the sophisticated, logic of our survey engine to really say, what's your role? Click here. We'll tell you, we'll give you kind of a custom tailored message that kind of helps us, prospect. And it's a better experience for the seller and, the prospect to kind of, be able to fill out a survey on your own time than to receive multiple cold calls. So that's one area. Another area is we've been using them extensively for kind of maturity diagnostics. And so you get a lot of different, departments that are at different levels of maturity. They might be just starting to implement a customer experience program. They might be, a company that is, global and synonymous with customer excellence and migrating over to our platform. And so using a survey for an organization to be able to help kind of analyze their own maturity, that helps us kind of, align the appropriate, solution for their particular environment. And all of that maturity diagnostic is run off of a survey. In a very similar fashion, you can do the same thing with ROI analysis, and you can very easily build ROI calculators into these surveys to really kind of help your champion within an organization go, you know, internally assess what would be the impact if we were to be able to increase, you know, certain metrics by a certain degree. You know, shifting entirely over to another way we use them is we use surveys for win-loss analysis. And so you can use our Salesforce integration to help either, you know, us or other organizations basically automatically trigger win-loss analysis surveys upon, you know, the closure of an opportunity and gather really kind of rich, quantitative information on why are we winning and losing deals. And that allows us really, really, you know, nice information to be able to feed back into our global or regional sales strategy. And I could literally go on and on and on about how we use kind of, you know, Qualtrics internally. We use our website intercept tool, our digital experience tool to, you know, help companies or ourselves, gather data or, you know, attendees or, really kind of understand the people that are, you know, on our website, making sure that they have a good experience or we're doing everything we possibly can, you know, to convert people that somehow made our way to our website, but maybe weren't quite ready to, you know, ultimately take some type of action. We've got tools that kind of assist in improving those kind of conversion rates as well. So, again, I could go on and on, but those are some of the kind of core areas that we use, our own products to improve sales effectiveness.
So one follow-up question to that, you mentioned that instead of just, you know, cold calling over and over to figure out is someone ready to have a conversation, that Qualtrics will send out, it sounds like automatically, I'm not sure, but it'll send out a survey to a prospect and ask them to fill it out. And then depending on the answer, you'll have action items or not, based on what they're saying. What is the incentive of the person to fill out that survey?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, there's so many different applications. It's kind of hard to really nail down or just, you know, succinctly say this is exactly how we use it. But in terms of what is the incentive for the individual to fill something out, sometimes it can be as simple as, you know, is calling out explicitly, help me align to the right time, so that, we're trying not to put a square peg in a round hole from a timing perspective. Here's a little bit about what we do. It's relevant to your role, but, you know, timing is usually everything. Sometimes that's enough. People definitely appreciate us trying to align to the appropriate time instead of our own sales goals. Moving further, a lot of times you can certainly couple that submission of information with giving something in return. We have a research tool, and so we've got a lot of primary research that's really, really relevant and pertinent to different roles. What do 1,500, CIO professionals in the tech landscape, what are their biggest concerns? We'd be happy to share, these various studies that we've conducted on our own platform and various things, to that effect. So there are a lot of different ways that you can incentivize people to ultimately provide that information.
I see. Okay. And so some of those would fall into kind of the marketing bucket of a traditional exchange of information in order to get something.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, I have a few rapid fire questions for you. What's your favorite sales book that you would recommend?
Not to dodge the question. My response to that, which I get asked a lot, is, there is no one sales book. The best thing that you can do is pick three and pick three that have a fundamentally different approach to one another.
Charlie, I'll make an exception for you. What are your three sales books?
There you go. So I would say if you read Selling to the C-Suite, Challenger Sale, and Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. Those provide kind of, a very kind of holistic approach, and you can really kind of bolt all of those together to develop, your own process. And one is kind of higher level and a little bit more theoretical. One is kind of very tactical. And then one is, you know, kind of will add from the help gain access to a higher level. And so some type of approach like that, I say, you know, pick three.
What is your favorite sales conference to attend? And it could be for networking, it could be for information and learning, whatever you recommend.
That's a good one. You know, I think CEB's conference, you know, obviously now part of Gartner, but it's actually coming up here in a fairly short order. They really just kind of do provide some of the best content and research available. There's just a ton of great ones out there. But if there's one that you're most likely to see me at, it would be the CEB conference.
And what is the sales tool besides your own and besides Salesforce that you can't live without?
It's some type of emailed platform, right? And I'm not such a fanboy where I'm gonna name a specific one, but something like the Tout app or the SendBloom, something that allows an individual rep to really have kind of their own personalized drip campaigns instead of relying on marketing, so that they can run for whatever reason in various ways. Either meeting request campaigns, or some of the best and most advanced reps are, you know, running their own webinars within their own territories for specific industries. And so there are a lot of different ways, but to me, the absolute and complete must have in a inside sales tech stack is some type of kind of high performing email tool that allows you to run kind of fairly complex campaigns.
What's the blog, newspaper, or magazine that keeps you the most informed about sales?
That's interesting. I actually I'm a huge proponent of not necessarily reading how to make better cold calls or, you know, five tips on negotiating, but I'm a huge proponent of reading the material that the people that you sell to are themselves consuming.
Yeah.
And so if you sell into HR, you shouldn't be reading about inside sales. You should be reading about HR. If you're selling into, you know, the tech landscape, you should understand, you know, what are the biggest and most important trends, or even, you know, shifts in policy that are impacting the people that you sell to. And you know, everybody's decent, I think, to a varying degree, at their own personal professional development. I always am a proponent of that, because it's one that people often, you know, kind of miss, and it can really kind of help you move from, you know, salesperson to, you know, consultant or trusted advisor for those people that you sell to, which I think most people would agree is a really important step to take to improve your own sales productivity.
Yes, definitely. That is the ideal position. Final question for you. Which podcast do you recommend sales pros listen to?
You know, I don't know that I am a consumer of podcasts as much as some other people. I can tell you that I've always found Trish Bertuzzi and the Bridge Group. I find her books, her articles, podcasts and things like that to be worthwhile. So I think she's one that I would certainly mention. I'll be digging into yours as well, to find out if there's something that I can glean from that content as well.
So I have one for you, and it's not focused directly on sales, but it's called How I Built This, and it's interviews with founders, and they'll talk about how they built their company. So like, it ranges from Five Guys Hamburgers to WeWork, one of the largest office space providers in the world. And it's really fascinating, because you get a sense of all of the moments where they had pivotal decisions to make and they could have failed, but somehow it worked out. Yeah, I mean, you know the idea. But for me, it really helps you understand, as a sales professional, how does the business work? Because sometimes we get a little too focused on our own thing, and ultimately we're solving big problems for people. And so I think it's good to keep in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great.
Well, Charlie, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn would be an easy way. But, you know, more specifically, if anybody, you know, in particular is interested in learning how to use Qualtrics for, you know, improving their own company sales effectiveness, you know, charlieb@qualtrics.com is my work email. No solicitations appreciated. But those are probably the two easiest ways to get a hold of me.
You know, you're on a sales podcast, right?
I do. That was risky, but if somebody wants to see how well I can turn a conversation around into selling them Qualtrics, they should try.
Well, you are a real optimist, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time, Charlie, and thank you for being here. I know the audience has gotten a lot out of it, so thank you.
All right, cheers. I appreciate the time, and have a good one.
Cheers.